a panel discussion of global perspectives.
You know, we're a global network, a global network of evangelists. A very simple explanation, but I think just reflects the beauty and the complexity of the world that we live in. God is a global God, and he cares about people everywhere, right? And so on the stage, we have the Latin world represented, we have the African world represented, we have the Francophone, well, not quite Francophone, French-speaking world, you know, represented here, North American, and we just want to kind of go through a few things that, you know, we're seeing around the world that may be helpful for us all to understand as we minister. Vicky was writing notes earlier on about all the different countries we were ministering in, and she said to me, they need to talk slower. There's so many different places we're serving around the world. And really it's encouraging to see what God is doing through your ministries around the world. In Vietnam, in Myanmar, in Indonesia, in Kenya, I mean, every place it seems around the world, God is on the move. But I think we have to understand the world. We have to be people who understand the context, speak into the context boldly, but with a sense of humility as well. And so, I thought we would just have some time to speak about what trends we're seeing. And maybe we can start with my brother. See, he made some extensive notes. Studious Quizera on Africa, and just to see, you know, what are some of the opportunities in Africa for gospel proclamation, and then again on the flip side of that, what are some of the challenges and threats to, you know, Christianity in Africa?
Oh, okay, thank you so much. My name is Emmanuel Quizera. I think first of all, I'm very proud to talk about Christianity in Africa. Because as you may know or aware, Africa is becoming the center of Christianity. That's a reality. If you read, like the other day I was reading one of the article published by Lausanne, in 2018, Africa became the most continent with the biggest number of Christianity. Like in 2018, Africa was the biggest in terms of the number of Christians. But the question is, what's the reality behind those numbers and those figures? I have been asking myself this question, that actually one of the questions we need to ask as evangelists is to really to try to study the realities why Christianity is growing in Africa. By 2050, half of evangelicals will be Africans. Half of evangelicals will be Africans. I think by 2050, I'll be 72 or 70-something. So we need to keep dreaming and thinking together for Africa. So Africa is really becoming the center of this conversation. The same time Christianity is growing in Africa, but also Islam is growing in Africa. You know, I keep saying that there is untold story in Africa. So Islam is growing very fast in Africa, but also Christianity is growing very fast in Africa. Some of you have been working in West Africa, countries like Niger, countries like Guinea-Conakry, countries like Mali, countries like even Nigeria, 40%, I think, if I'm not wrong, they are Muslim from north. But also North Africa is still a huge mission field, Tunisia, Morocco, Libya, Egypt. So it's good that really we have a lot to celebrate in Africa, but also Africa is still having a challenge, and I believe that missions is from everywhere to everywhere. One of my friends now wrote a book called Africa to the Rest. So which is true, you can read it. It's on Amazon. You can read that book. It's a very good book, Africa to the Rest. But I believe that we still need people to come to work with us, to partner with us, because there's huge need in Africa. Anyway, in the last 2 years, 5 years actually, we started mobilizing evangelists in Africa. Some of you have heard about African Evangelist Congress. So we, in 2020, 2021, we had one of the very good Congress of Evangelists. Because of that, there's now new opportunities of partnering with international evangelists and the local evangelists to keep really strengthening evangelism in the local church and supporting evangelism, the ministry of evangelists. The other thing which is very beautiful, 2 years ago, Go Movement, some of you are aware about Go Movement, and also One God, One Day, One Africa, One GDA with our brother Sigi, created a very strong partnership between charismatic Pentecostal churches and what we used to call Protestant or mainland churches in Africa. Like if you come to Africa, Nairobi, Zimbabwe, South Africa, it's so beautiful to see how we are working together to support and strengthening the ministry of evangelists. Anyway, there are so many things to share about Africa, but also there's some challenges. So we need each other.
That's good. Thank you. Helpful. I want to pass the microphone on to Raphael and get him to speak. Raphael is incredibly well studied and very articulate. And I want him to define for us this term, polycentric missions, and then define for us or speak to how this defines our evangelistic strategy. So, yeah, Raphael.
So how many of you did crusade in Haiti? Raise your hand. Okay, if you did crusade in Haiti, raise your hand. Okay, right. Okay, so majority. In 2019, I was teaching at the Baptist Seminary, and there was a group in Haiti doing a crusade for the whole country, and they were from Ivory Coast. It was the first time in the history of this country that there was a crusade that was organized by Africans, French-speaking Africans, for Haiti. And they mobilized cohorts of evangelists from West Africa, France, and then the Asian community in Miami. And they joined and they did a stratified evangelistic campaign. They prayed over the president, cabinet member. They did business outreach and so forth. So I sent my students to do a survey and identify the way this kind of three-week campaign differed from American campaign. And it was really fantastic to see the way Africans were going at it using some of the things that Americans have been doing, you know, classically in Haiti, but also bringing a theology from Africa to Haiti that are not even in our systematic categories of thinking. And they felt a responsibility as an African continent to pray over Haiti and break the boundage over Haiti, not just because of the situation of poverty, but they were going back in the history, 1854, Haiti being the first country to stand up against the colonies and declaring independence and having to pay up to this day what they decided to do back in 1854. And so they were also there to celebrate as Africans this decision that Haiti did in 1854 to decide to become independent. You see, those are not the kind of things that you hear when you have American evangelists going to do a crusade. They stay away from those things. So why do I say that? Because that's polycentric missions. Okay? Today we see new centers of missions across the globe where you have Brazilians going to Spain and then church planting in Spain because it's Portuguese. And then they start with Portugal and then they move to Spain. It's easy for them to move into language. We have evangelists coming from Kinshasa doing evangelism in the Paris suburb. You have evangelists from Abidjan going to Haiti. And I think to respond to your second question, the role of the global network of evangelists, if we really want to walk in step with the Spirit, is just to learn to work differently. Because we need to then walk in step with those polycenter missions that the Spirit is rising up and then come in resonance with those centers. Because one of the things that we're seeing is that they are reproducing the same mistakes that we have been doing for 200 years. So I think if we can learn to really collaborate with those centers, not from an obnoxious superior part of it, but as friends on a journey, I think there's potentiality that to we have a lot of synergies and convergence in the future years of missions. But it's going to look different.
That's great. I think it will look different for sure. And we have to be strategic about where we go, why we go, where we go, and to definitely focus on areas of greatest need and opportunity. But I think the world we live in today, there are many questions that people ask, right? People have good questions, and we often shy away from people's good questions. I don't know about you, but I feel wholly inadequate as an apologist. If people ask me a question about the Christian faith sometimes or different aspects of culture, it's really hard to answer them, yet we're called to give a defense for our faith and to do so in a way that helps them connect with the biblical truth. Daniel King is an apologist in many ways, and he does great work just thinking through some of the challenges and questions that people ask. Daniel, Dr. King, what are the questions that people ask today, and how are they different to some of the classical apologetic questions that were asked 10, 15 years ago?
I just finished writing a book called Proof God is Real, and it came out of a desire to reach the United States. We go to many different countries around the world and do large evangelistic crusades, but I've been praying, God, how can we reach people in the United States? And I spent a lot of time on social media, and so on Twitter, on YouTube, I saw that there is a strong representation of atheists and skeptics who are openly attacking the Christian faith, mocking the Christian faith, questioning the Christian faith. And so in an effort to answer some of those questions, I studied for several years and put out this book, Proof God is Real. And in it, the book, I asked three big questions. Is God there? Does God care? And do I dare to follow him? And all three questions are answered in the same verse, Hebrews 11:6. It says that God exists, that God is a rewarder of those who seek after him. So that means God does care about us as individuals. And it tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must put our faith in Christ and dare to follow him. And so I recorded all the material from the book. I really haven't sold very many books, but I recorded the material and put it on YouTube and put it on TikTok. And just in the last 2 weeks, we've had about 60,000 views of some of that material on the different platforms. And hundreds of atheists attacking, saying I'm really a stupid person. But that's wonderful because they're watching it, and I know in the middle of the night, God's going to wake them up, and they're going to think about what has been said. And so I think we need to, reach the poor people in Haiti, but also be reaching the skeptics, the highly educated, and answering those questions, represent God and all of these different arenas. And I really feel that this is a new day in evangelism. As you look through church history, you see different gifts in the body of Christ brought to the forefront. And during this time, I think God is raising up the gift of the evangelist once again. There have been times in the past where the evangelist has been very strong, and now I think that God is bringing that back to where the gift of the evangelist in the body of Christ is being raised up. And it's so beautiful to see because, like, even here in this room, we have several different networks of evangelists that are represented from Africa and the Francophone and different groups. And sometimes, people might say, well, why are there so many different groups that are all talking about global evangelism? And I'm part of this network and then the Global Evangelist Alliance, which is all the Spirit-empowered Pentecostal evangelists getting together. And I think it's good because God is speaking the same thing to multiple people at the same time and just looking for someone who will be obedient and run with the vision. And so I think during this time, God is speaking evangelism and also this concept of working together. And like Brother Siegfried is back here and is working on helping to put together a big meeting in Amsterdam next year, in June of 2023, calling evangelists together from all over the world. And it's going to be at the 40-year anniversary of when Billy Graham was in Amsterdam in 1983. And I think this could be that the 1983 Amsterdam meeting became a catalyst for evangelism, for several generations, the last 40 years of evangelism. And now I think what we're seeing is God's laying the foundation for a new move of evangelism and raising up a new generation of evangelists for the next 40 years, because I think God has big things in store for us as a body.
Amen. Thank you. And Daniel's book is for sale, by the way, after this conference, $10 per copy. Hallelujah. Special price, buy two, get three for free. There we go. We're going to take up an offering right now. Just kidding. But hey, so Jonah Prieti serves as the director of Nueva Generación de Evangelistas. Is that right? Did I do okay? I practice that so much. I murder Spanish, completely murder Spanish. But it's a great language, and the Spanish-speaking world is an incredible block of population, and Jonah represents is representative of the Evangelical Association there as well. And I just want to hear from Jonah about some of what the pastors and leaders are speaking about and thinking through in a post-COVID reality in the Spanish-speaking world.
Thank you, Des. Well, it's a challenging time after pandemic, as many will know and experience. People are not coming back to church as you would expect it. And many times they are comfortable, you know, following the service and everything that's happened from home in the commodity of a couch. So pastors and leaders all around the region, it's the common thing, are trying to see how to engage their flock again. And we can add to that the crisis, the economical crisis that the whole world is going through. But in Latin America, you are not that well prepared, so it affects you more. So, for example, in Argentina, we will be reaching 100% inflation this year. This is a world case scenario, you know, a bad one. But many countries are experiencing, like the U.S., a lot of economical issues and crisis, and yeah, you can imagine how it is in that part of the world. But the church is growing, and evangelism is growing and arising, and we have something in the Latin world that it's all around the world, and I've seen Samuel from the World Evangelical Alliance here in October. The 22 evangelical alliances heads will meet in Dominican Republic, and they have been doing this for 6 or 7 years now in a row, diligently. And with them, a lot of leaders and key people from those different countries, and they are all coming together. They pay their own expenses to vision together, to communion together, to have fellowship, and there are these 10 commissions that affect 10 different areas of the society: childhood, youth, human dignity, or you know, human rights, apologetics. Sorry, where leaders from different countries come, ambition together, evangelism, discipleship, where they can. Thanks, Heather. Are you going to? Thank you. It's not my emotions. It's not that I'm going to cry. I will cry, but not because. Yeah.
It's okay.
And I don't even start preaching.
You're kind of a big deal. It's okay.
Now we can go. and they're coming to DR and ambition together and have fellowship. So there is a lot going on. We need a lot of collaboration. We need a lot of help in terms of awakening, in terms of collaboration, in terms of mission. And I just want to close with this. We've been in Manchester, as you heard, you know, the LP, Luis Palau Association, the Message Trust, And we were there with Andrea and Wendy, and we had this meeting with Latin pastors. And it was not that big, but it was profound. It was deep. And they were all saying, they were moved and emotioned because, I don't know what's going on. And they were saying, they were encouraged, and they were celebrating, and they were happy because they were saying, the Lord is taking us. We were in Manchester, UK. The Lord is taking us back as missionaries and evangelists where everything started, from a Latin world. There were Cubans there, there were Argentines, there were Brazilian people. And they were celebrating that, and they would say, we need to come together, we need to do things, because the Lord is now, we are so grateful to the European and American missionaries that brought us the gospel. Remember, Luis always putting that in the first place, you know, thanking and celebrating the missionaries that came. And now from the Latin world, many, many expressions of evangelism and missionaries are going out to those countries and regions where everything started, but they need to be awakened, that we need to fire it up and just helping missions and evangelism. I made it to the end.
Hallelujah. Wow. All right, you can drink some more water over there. You can drink some more water. Well, as we close off this panel, just with 20 seconds each, max, starting with Daniel King, if you could just share one prayer for the global church that you think we need to be praying and mindful for right now. One prayer for the global church.
I think we should pray the prayer of Jesus, that we would all be one as he and the Father are one.
I do see a move called the charismatic ecumenism move, that is traditions, Christian traditions coming together for the purpose of missions and evangelism, especially in the Catholic Church. I was just reading yesterday a declaration by the Pope in Quebec City about the need for the church to go out and even collaborate with Protestants and evangelicals. And so I think we need discernment in seizing the time where historical traditions, Anglican and Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants, are coming together with evangelical and Pentecostal for the purpose of missions. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think for me, the prayer request is a genuine collaboration between the global north and the global south for the global mission. I have heard so many times people saying Christianity is growing in the global south. But if you see how global north is empowering global north, south, global north is empowering the global south, there is a lack of a genuineness and also lack of strategic. For example, for the case of Africa, if really you believe that Christianity is growing in Africa, let's come together, rethink the model we do evangelism in Africa. That's number one. Second, let's really invest in a strategic things like a research, publication, helping evangelists to really to understand what they are doing. And what I'm saying is that let's pray for the, because still the power of the church is still in the global north because of publications and the money, but Christianity is growing in the global south. So we need to see the global mission as a one family. So there is a need of collaboration between the global north and the global south. And this is a very high level conversation, because even within Lausanne, I'm part of the Lausanne, we are struggling how to do it. I hope GNE and the GEA, like a Global Evangelist Alliance, we come with a clear model how the global north and the global south, we work together for the global mission, especially for the ministry of evangelists. Otherwise, we may end up making the same mistake like what other missionaries did many years ago.
Give an evangelist a microphone and he'll tell you a whole sermon. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's wonderful. That's a great need. Absolutely. Jonah, one prayer, if you can manage it.
Yeah.
One prayer for the global church.
The global church?
Can we pray for you first?
Yeah, thanks. I would say more collaboration and humility. Mm-hmm. And foster unity. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. For me, you know, mission is the mother of theology, really. I think it's important, and that understanding should be the understanding of every believer, you know, returning back to the missional heart of God and seeing that being contextualized in every culture, in every place, among every people, and for us as believers to contend for the Christian faith too, wherever we go. Well, it's been a very short conversation, but I hope it's been helpful to you in thinking through some global challenges and global issues. Really, the people that you see up here are incredibly gifted, well thought out. Emmanuel's just finishing his master's in missional leadership and evangelism at Wheaton College. Raphael has his PhD and is well published and connected in there. Daniel as well he's got his own PhD. Well, he's got a PhD, and he can get you one too for just $99 online. Hallelujah! There we go. But they've got tremendous resources. Tap into their resources. Connect with them. Channel all the questions you have to them around aspects relating to their fields of speciality. But won't you join me in praying for them as they continue to serve King Jesus? Lord Jesus, thank you for these brothers right up here and for the work that they do for the global church. We thank you for the way that you're at work. We acknowledge it. We don't always see it. We don't always understand the mystery of what is happening. But Lord, we do know that you are sovereign and in control of all things. Help us as your people to be discerning, to be attentive, and to follow your call wherever that would take us, God. Give us boldness. Give us humility. Help us to work together. And we pray for the global church in this moment that we're in, Lord. We need your presence. We need your guidance. We need less of us and more of you. And so we pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us as evangelists. Forgive us as leaders for the ways that we fail you, for our complacency, for being complicit, and for the many things that we should be doing, but we're just not doing. And so, Father, it's in that heart of humility that we come to you asking that you would guide us, so that we would have your heart and your mind as we seek to evangelize the world. Lord, open up places that are strategic and where you're already at work so that we would be able to see people reached with the good news of Jesus Christ, discipled and planted into local churches, O God, that we would see a movement of your Holy Spirit in these last days that are not only encouraging to us, but just incredibly beautiful for you and for your kingdom, God. And so bless these leaders as they serve you around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to introduce to you a brother, Siegfried. I really believe God has done something really amazing about 4 years ago now in 2018. At the same time as God was speaking to the Palau Association, to Kevin and Andrew and Luis about starting or transitioning the Next Generation Alliance into the global network of evangelists, God was speaking to a group of Empower 21 leaders, and they met in Johannesburg, and it was such an encouragement to see how we had a desire to start a network of evangelists. They had a desire to start a network of evangelists, and Siegfried serves as the director of the Global Evangelist Alliance, representing the Spirit-empowered group of evangelists that serve King Jesus all over the world. And so I think it's tremendous that God is in every way speaking to us about the ministry of the evangelist within the body of Christ and elevating that. And I love Siegfried to come forward and just to speak to us about an incredible opportunity in 2023. Thank you. And we'll have that slide up on the screen too.
Thank you so much. If you need a PhD, $49.99, I'm flying in a couple of weeks to Nigeria. Please fill out the list there. Sorry. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here. To me, when people speak about empowered spirit, empowered evangelists, you know, discern, I get completely mixed up. Because to me, every evangelist is empowered with the Holy Spirit, period. Because I never read in the Bible anything about denomination, it's about salvation. And we have been, all my lifetime, 44 years in ministry, I've always been working with every Bible-believing Christian. I never ask, where do you come from? I ask them, do you know where you are going to? That's more important, that we tell the people, you know, we are on our way to heaven. Thank you, Wendy, for your message this morning. It really spoke to my heart, myself. It was a confirmation of what I experienced in my hotel room early morning. Thank you. about Emmanuel Quisera. Thank you. We have become real friends, I can tell you. And, you know, 100 years ago, people from Europe, from my own church, you know, we have been sending people to Africa because Europe was the lighthouse of the world. Luther, you know, Transformer. Africa was the dark continent, the black continent, the darkest, deepest thing. We tried to send light to Africa. I can tell you today, traveling to more than 92 countries in the world, Africa has become the lighthouse of the world. And we are seeing this light being brought from Africa. Some of the fastest growing and strongest churches in Europe are led by African people. And they are bold, they are full of fire, and that has nothing to do with denomination. That is just the fire of God that is burning inside of them to reach this generation. And I pray that we catch some of that fire. I really pray. So about Amsterdam, you know, when I started in ministry, evangelists were lonesome riders. Everyone was traveling somewhere. There was only a few known evangelists. Billy Graham, Louis Palau, Anna Konya, Reinhard Bonnke, and so on. There were some few names. But, you know, my own parents said when I went into full-time ministry, why don't you want to take a job for where you have to starve and ask for money and beg for money all the time? Why don't you stay in your full-time business, you know? And this was something very interesting because in the church, the evangelists came once a year. So they tick off evangelism. Okay, we've done that, but that was always outside of the church. What I see today is just the opposite. Wherever we go, we see people, churches talking about the need of evangelism again. I see a whole new generation of evangelists, and I'm not talking about 40, 50-year-olds. I see teenagers being bold, going out, but they need people who coach them, who train them. It was wonderful hearing about mentoring. That's what they are needing. And next year in June 21 to 24, we want to have a conference, and I don't like the name conference because this is not going to be a conference or a congress or anything. This is a gathering of people who have a desire to reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be there just four or five speakers telling the people what to do. They go back, they are blessed and wonderful, and 3-4 days later they have forgotten everything. I've been in business for many years. We had trainings, we had sessions, top trainers, and after 2 weeks you could only use 1 or 2% of what you have learned for $2,000 for a week. What we want to do is we want to sit together, we want to collaborate, we want to hear from those people who are on the front line. How are you doing it? What are you doing? What is the need? How can we collaborate? How can we put that really together? And then together build a plan for the next 10 years that by the end of the year 2033, we can give the opportunity for every person on earth to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that's something where we all can meet because at the foot of the cross, we can all meet. So Africa networks, European networks, Asian networks, people told me, well, there is already a network. I said, they are a net, and we are a net, and there is a net. But our job now is to put those nets together that we can cast that globally, all the nets together as one gospel net through the whole world. The strategy, the culture, the languages. When I joined GEA, I have my own ministry after 30 years with Christ for All Nations. I started ministry focusing on North Africa from Egypt to Mauritania. Then I joined with an evangelist focusing with One God, One Decade, One Africa, joining evangelistic ministries on Africa. And now when I joined GEA, I was asked to direct that under the leadership of Empower 21. I said, well, two requests I have. Number one, it's not about denominations. I want to work together with all Bible-believing Christians, evangelists from around the world. I don't care what background. I want people who are doing what they are talking about and not talking about what they have been doing 20, 30 years ago. So number one. Number two, we speak about global, and the whole executive team in Joburg at that time, there was, I think, a handful of African evangelists. The rest was Americans. And I said, yeah, I'm American, but I'm also German. I've been living in Dubai. I've lived in Africa. I've lived in five continents. But if you speak to me about global, we need to speak languages. How do we want to serve Russia if we have a conference in English? How do we serve China if we talk English? How do we serve the Francophone country? So we need to do everything in languages, as many languages as possible. As evangelists, we need to connect with language groups. And the last requirement I had, and that's what I really want to see here, is we as evangelists, we see ourselves as the core, the body. Okay, that might be right. I'm an evangelist. I know what we talk about. But we need the wing ministries. And in Amsterdam, I also want to have the intercession and the prayer networks, because without prayer, nothing works. We as evangelists, we need the support of the prayer teams on the ground before, during our campaigns, and after that. We need to have the networks of the apostolic and the church ministries. Why? Jesus never said, go and count raised hands. He said, go and make disciples. So we need to have the churches on board for the follow-up. We want to connect with the church planting networks, because we as evangelists, we are going out in the world. We go and preach, and then we go back home. But who is going to stay and start new churches there? It's the church planting networks that we need to connect. And then at last, the church the unreached people groups networks, because they are reaching out in places where there is no literature, there is no material. So at that conference, we really want to join those networks. We want to join those ministries, the fivefold ministries, so to say. But we really want to see every evangelist or person that has a heart to reach the lost for Jesus Christ, and sit together 3 days and talk, discuss, brainstorm, strategize, and then go back home, everyone, with a clear plan for the next 10 years. How can we do it? And then we have the resources, we can share, we can really collaborate and coordinate things together. And what I love most at what we discussed on the table, and that's my closing, for me, the whole Amsterdam is to start really a global net of friendships. It's not for a project. I have learned the last couple of years how important friendships are, where we can share, where somebody's there and picking up the phone and says, I've been praying this morning for you. What's going on? Is there anything wrong? Too many evangelists have been lost, have really been lost, because there was no friend. And I love people like Reed. We have never met in person before, but when we met today, it feels to me like we have known each other for the last 20 years. And everyone I met here, I feel like coming to a family. I love you all. Yeah.